InfoTrack, the weekly show with information you should know. Here's your host, Chris Whitting.
If you have a phone, chances are you've received unwanted spam calls or scam telemarketing calls. Despite government efforts, these sometimes costly calls continue to happen. How can you protect yourself? InfoTrack reporter Jim Anthony has the story. Jim?
Thanks, Chris. 4 years ago, Congress told phone companies to crack down on relentless scam and telemarketing robocalls. But a new report from the U.S. Public Interest Research Group Education Fund finds we're getting more calls, and fewer companies are using the technology meant to protect us. My guest is Teresa Murray, Consumer Watchdog Director for the U.S. PIRG Education Fund and co-author of the report. Teresa, you call this the Twilight Zone. Why are we getting more robocalls when phone companies are supposed to be stopping them?
Well, that's a super good question. I mean, we were frankly very surprised by these results. And it comes down to a few simple things. There is not enough enforcement. There are not enough consequences for bad guys. And the scammers are getting much more sophisticated. But the main reason actually that we're seeing an increase in these, because scam calls work. Information from the Federal Trade Commission indicates that for a person who loses money through a scam call, the typical amount of money lost is about $3,700. So if a bad guy gets just one victim a day, you multiply that times 5 days a week, as if bad guys only work 5 days a week, you multiply that out and it comes out to almost $1 million a year. That's why scam calls are increasing.
Talk a little about this caller ID authentication technology in simple terms. What does it do? And more importantly, how is it supposed to protect us?
Basically, the technology that phone companies were supposed to have implemented by the end of 2023 in most cases basically allows the phone company to verify that the number that's on the caller ID is actually the number that the call is coming from. So it's not spoofing the Internal Revenue Service or Chase Bank or Amazon. And when a company basically validates a phone number, they digitally sign off on it. And then that follows that phone call all the way through the network. So it just takes a few seconds for a phone call to ping around the network, you know, whether it's across the street or around the world. Then every phone company along that path knows that that phone call is legitimate, that it's actually coming from the phone number that's displayed on the caller ID. So the companies that have the technology implemented, then that works pretty good. And when you have holes in the system, then that's when the bad calls get through.
So you mentioned that fewer companies are using this software protection. Why are they dropping the ball? Who's holding them accountable?
Well, it's the FCC that's responsible for enforcing this part of the law. It's called the TRACED Act. And basically, the phone companies had deadlines depending on the size of the company. And the largest companies had to comply starting in 2021. And the smallest companies had to comply by 2023. There are companies that have filed for extensions, and those extensions have been granted in isolated cases. Like, you have phone companies that are up in the hills and they have old copper wire phone lines and they're not actually connected to the internet, so it's much more difficult for them just to flip a switch and get this technology online. And as far as why more companies haven't, or why the number of companies that are compliant actually declined, we're kind of dumbfounded. That's where I said about the Twilight Zone. We looked at the numbers and we're like, what? I mean, some of it could be because some companies perhaps merged with another company that wasn't completely compliant, so that could explain it. Maybe some of the companies that were compliant went out of business. I mean, we just don't know. It's down by about a few hundred companies, and we have asked that of the FCC, but they haven't gotten back to us yet.
As with any useful technology, AI can be used for both good and bad. And in this case, AI is making scams more convincing, making it harder for people to tell what's real and what's fake. And I think that probably is what freaks me out the most.
Yeah, you're absolutely right. It freaks a lot of people out. I mean, AI is helping the scammers in two major ways. One is with deepfakes. If a bad guy has just a few seconds of audio from you or me or any of your listeners, then they conceivably could take that voice and use artificial intelligence to make it have a whole conversation. I mean, it's bone-chilling what these computers can do with our voices. We wrote about a case where it was a woman who had actually testified before the Senate. She had gotten a call from someone who she, to this day, would swear was her daughter's voice. And it was her daughter's voice, except it wasn't. And fortunately, the woman was able to realize that it was a scam before she shelled out, you know, whole bunches of tens of thousands of dollars. But if a mother can't tell their own kid's voice, that's pretty scary. So this thing with the deepfakes and the audio, it's just next level. Like, you can't even trust who's on the phone. You almost have to be in the room with them. The other way that artificial intelligence is fueling these scams is by taking information about all of us that has been breached through hacking, through data breaches over the years, the Internal Revenue Service, Equifax, all of the retailers, insurance companies. The list goes on of all of the data breaches that have occurred. And then you combine all that information with information that we have willingly provided on social media, you know, Facebook, Instagram, whatever. And with AI, a bad guy can take that and just work its magic and in just a few seconds spit out a whole dossier about you with information that you may not even remember about yourself. And that allows a scammer to have information at their fingertips to make whatever they're trying to get you to do sound more believable.
So to that end, then, what can we do right now to protect ourselves from scam calls and texts?
It comes down to something really simple. Remember the word unexpected. If you get a call that is unexpected, do not provide any personal information or financial information. If you get a text or an email or even something in your mailbox that is unexpected, don't provide information immediately, either personal information or financial information, because the IRS is not going to contact you and say, hey, you have to pay us this exact second or else we're going to arrest you. And by the way, you need to pay us in iTunes gift cards. You know, you're not going to get a call that your bank account has been hacked and that if you don't do something like change your password or transfer all your money to another bank account right this exact second, then you're going to be broke. Those kinds of things don't happen in an instant. And a lot of them lately are with traffic tickets. You know, hey, you have an outstanding traffic ticket. If you don't pay this by phone right now, we're going to suspend your license, repossess your car. People get freaked out into believing that something awful is going to happen if they don't respond in that exact second. Nobody's going to come after you in just a few seconds. And if anything is unexpected, don't do it. Don't give the information. Don't pay the money. If you think there's a chance that that phone call or that text message could be legitimate, then look up the source through a way that you know is authentic. So look at the phone number on the back of your bank card or your credit card. Log into your Amazon account. Log into your utility account and call that number before you take any action. So unexpected is the thing to remember.
And people of all ages can become a victim, but what should we do to help protect older family members and friends who could be more at risk or more vulnerable?
Yeah, and I would agree with you. And it has nothing to do with intelligence. It has nothing to do with whether you're young or old or rich or poor or how many college degrees you have or how many grades in school that you did not complete. It has nothing to do with that. It has to do with somebody catching you at the exact wrong moment that they can trick you. And it can happen in just a few seconds. You know, maybe you got into a fight with your partner this morning and you're kind of distracted, or maybe your pet is really sick and you're distracted by that. But you're right that older people tend to be a little more vulnerable because, one, they're nicer and they're more trusting, and they're also not quite as savvy in general with technology. They don't understand how calls can be spoofed in general. So you're talking people who might be in their 80s or 90s. So the message that we can bring to our loved ones, especially when we see them around the holidays, is just let them know that there are lots of bad guys out there. There are lots of scams out there. And that if they get a call or get a text message that they weren't expecting, don't do anything. Call a relative, call somebody from church, call a neighbor, and try to get it all sorted out. And then the other thing that's really important, particularly with older people, is if they do provide information or they do provide payment information, they should tell somebody. They shouldn't be embarrassed about it. We need people to step up and talk about this and kind of eliminate the stigma that oftentimes is associated with getting scammed.
Teresa Murray is our guest. Thanks for giving us the inside scoop and some ways to fight back.
Thanks for having me.
And I'm Jim Anthony for InfoTrack.
Next, raising kids in a high-tech world as InfoTrack continues.
There's more InfoTrack coming up. Stay tuned.